Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us as we get into John 17. Holy Spirit, thank you for the Word of God this morning. Thank you for the powerful time of worship that we've had together. Speak to us through your Word now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been talking about this subject of one, and we've been focusing on the power of unity. And today I'm going to wrap this series up. Maybe. I might not, but my intention is to wrap this series up as we talk about the power of one. The power of one. In math, 1 + 1 = 2. But in biblical math, biblical synergy says 1 + 1 = 10,000. According to Deuteronomy, 1 puts 1,000 to flight, 2 puts 10,000 to flight. If we follow that equation, 3 would put 100,000 to flight. 4 can put 1,000,000 to flight. So you can continue the exponential power that comes as a result of unity. Jesus, before he went to the cross, prayed a prayer. The only unanswered prayer that Jesus ever prayed. It's found in John 17. And it says this, verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but I pray for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Say that out loud, as loud as you can. That they all may be one. As you, Father, in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. There's no such thing as unity outside of faith in God. The Spirit is the only thing that really brings unity. And that the world may believe that you sent me. Look right here. Unity proves that Jesus came to die for the sins of the whole world. Right? So disunity would disprove it. Jesus said, the only way the world's going to know that I was sent by you is unity. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them that they may be one just as we are one. The purpose for the manifest presence of God. You see, we believe that God is omnipresent, which means God's everywhere at the same time. The problem is his presence is not known everywhere. It's not experienced or felt everywhere. The glory is the manifest presence of God. So Jesus said, listen, the reason you need to be one is, number one, it proves that I came to save the whole world. Number two, the purpose for the glory of God is oneness. The purpose for the manifest presence of God is oneness. I in them, you in me, that we may be perfect in one. Number three, oneness is proof of our maturity. A lack of unity is proof of immaturity. Only mature people can understand the power of unity. Psalm 133, I'm just going to reach and grab it. Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is, brethren, or pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the, watch now, it's like the oil that runs down into the beard. In the Jewish culture, the beard is the sign of maturity, right? Only a person who is unified or who understands or is mature, rather, understands the power of unity. Again, in the world system, 1 + 1 = 2. But in God's equation, 1 + 1 = 10,000. Right? There is a power that happens when people come together. It's something called synergy. Everybody say synergy.
Synergy.
The world calls it mob mentality. If you get a mob together and they're of one mind to do a certain thing, mob mentality will take over. It'll create a synergy, and a mob can destroy an entire city from the synergy that takes place in their unity. So when Jesus in John chapter 17 is talking about unity, he's talking about the power when people come together in his name with one purpose and the synergy that happens. There's this dynamic that takes place that creates exponential power. Exponential power. Now, I can see you're still not getting it, but the Bible, we've always taught that a picture is worth a thousand words. So let me put a picture up for you. I love horses. Can anybody tell me what kind of horse this is? Somebody say Clydesdale. But Oh, it's a Belgium. There's my horse lady. A horse, of course, right? A Belgium. This is a Belgium plow horse. The most powerful horse on the planet. Isn't he beautiful? Look at him. Those dark feet. Wouldn't you just love to have one of those horses right there running around in the field behind you, costing you thousands of dollars, eating corn all the time? So, horse. Now, the reason that I've put a horse on the screen is because a couple weeks ago, I talked about the exponential power of unity. One puts a thousand flight, Deuteronomy says, two puts 10,000, three put, and I talked about the exponential power of unity, and someone came up to me and says, Pastor, that is technically impossible. And I said, what do you mean? They said, mathematically, what you're sharing is technically impossible. And I said, in the natural, it might be impossible. And then I said, hold it, stop. I'm wrong about that. In the natural, it's true as well as in the supernatural. It might be more exponential in the supernatural. But in the natural, it works just as it does in the supernatural. And they said, don't believe it. I said, I'll tell you what, come back next service. And I'm going to put a picture up and I'm going to prove to you the exponential power of unity.
Amen.
Right? So here's your proof. The Belgian plow horse. Now, do you know, being the most powerful horse on the planet, do you know how much it can pull? 8,000 pounds. One horse can pull 8,000 pounds. You hook that thing up to a wagon, load it down with 8,000 pounds. One horse can pull 8,000 pounds. What kind of horse is this? Right? How much can it pull? Oh, I'm so glad y'all are listening this morning, right? But here's the deal. Logic says, if I take another plow horse, a Belgian plow horse, and I yoke two of them together, they should be able to pull how much? 16,000, right? Because 8 plus 8 is 16. But something happens. Watch now. When you take one Belgian plow horse, now they might not know each other at all. They come off two different trailers, two different parts of the world. Let's say we brought them into Cookeville. We took them up to the fairgrounds. We pull them out of the trailer. They've never seen each other before. We hook a plow, or we hook a yoke to them. We yoke them together, and we got a plow behind them, and we tell them to pull the weight. The synergy that takes place between, the synergy is the connection that happens between two of a like kind. The synergy that takes place causes them to be able to pull 24,000 pounds. Now that's beyond your natural ability, right? You would think that defies logic. But how could they do it? It's the power of synergy. There's something that happens when people of like kind come together under the yoke of one purpose, one destiny, there is the exponential power of unity that takes place. Synergy. This is what Jesus knew. So Jesus prays a prayer. Lord, make them one, like you and I are one. Let them be one, that the whole world will know that I'm the Savior. Why? Because there's a synergy that happens when Christians come together. Let them be one so they can see my glory. Why? Because there's a synergy that happens when Christian comes together. Let them be one, Father, in Jesus. Why? There's a synergy. And that synergy creates exponential power. So what kind of horse is this? How much can one pull? But how much can two pull? 24,000. Why? Because of what?
Synergy.
Good. You guys are listening this morning. We're getting somewhere, right? It's going to be a short sermon.
Amen.
All right. But there's another dimension. I love being part of this church. It's so fun. You never know what's going to happen here, literally. All right, there's another dimension of synergy. Now watch. I took one Belgian plow horse, pulls 8. I put him with another Belgian plow horse he's never met before. He pulls 24,000. But how many of you in Tennessee have ever heard of something called a matched pair? Now, if you were in early service, don't answer this. What is a matched pair? All my California people are like, I have no idea. What is it? They've been trained together. So if I take, watch now, a Belgian plow horse, and I hook him to another Belgian plow horse that he's friends with, he has a relationship with. Maybe they've worked together, they trained together, they lived in the same barn together, they frolicked in the field. Frolic's not a bad word. They frolicked in the field. You got to clarify that in Cookville. Come on, somebody. They frolicked in the field together. They've done life together. Watch now. I hook them together. Guess what happens? A different level of synergy happens. Now, those two horses can pull 32,000 pounds. Same strength, same body build. The difference is, watch now, they're not only of the same kind, they're of the same spirit or the same mind. And that creates an exponential release of power. Well, let's think about this. I know the devil has come against your life. I know hell has released its most vicious attacks against your life. What about in your home? What would happen if mama and daddy, instead of working against each other, would come together, yoked together in like mind and like spirit in one purpose? You guys could pull 32,000 pounds of weight around your house. What if you take your kid and they get in the same mindset? Now, I don't know about how you grew up. Let me tell you how I grew up. In my house, we had something called family meetings. How many ever had a family meeting? We've got so many dysfunctional homes in Cookeville, Tennessee. Here's how the family meeting went. If there was a problem, somebody was out of line, chaos or confusion had come into the house, Daddy would say, tonight when I get home from work, we're having a family meeting and everybody's to be meet in the living room. And it was amazing. Daddy could get everybody on the same page. Now, he either did it with words or a leather strap. But when you left that room, you all spoke the same thing and walked in the same direction. One of the things I think we're missing in our culture right now is used to when I came home from school at night, we would all gather around the table and we would eat together. And we would talk together. And Daddy would say, how did your day at school go? And Mom would say, what did you learn today? What did you say? When we pick Ezra up from school, first thing we ask him, how was your day? What did you learn? All right? I was taught that. Now we no longer do that. So watch, we're losing synergy. We're losing synergy in our homes. In church, the only time we see each other is on Sunday morning. And then if we have any issues at all, we don't have family meetings to straighten them out. What are we losing? We're losing synergy. Now, Genesis chapter, are y'all still okay? I just love my preaching. I get so excited about my preaching. Genesis chapter 11, there's a story of a tower being built called the Tower of Babel, reaching up into the heavens. Now, it wasn't that they were trying to build it all the way to the throne. That's impossible, right? What it means is when it says they were building it to reach to the heavens, they were building this ziggurat tower, and on top of it was a zodiac chart. And on the top of, and up there on that zodiac chart were all of these different false gods. And they would go to the top of this tower and they would inquire of these false gods. The Tower of Babel is the source of every idol in the history of the world. Every false god, every false religion can be traced back to the Tower of Babel. Babel? Baal, you ever heard that? Later in the Old Testament, Baal. Every false religion. Islam, Allah, is a pre-Islamic Baal deity. It's not another name for God. And I could go on and on with other religions. All comes from the Tower of Babel. Now watch. How are they able to do that? The Bible says God looked down and there was nothing impossible to that group of people because of something. They were unified. They were of one mind and of one speech, one language, and they were unified. And so watch now, nothing is impossible. Evil consequence, spiritual principle. Now here's what I'm trying to tell you. Unity can work on both sides of the coin. In the secular world, in the realms of evil or demonic, there can be a demonic unity that happens amongst a group of people for wicked purposes. And watch, there will be an exceptional explosion of power or increase of power on that demonic wickedness. It's almost like an anointing of wickedness, of an anointing of evil, right? And if you have the mind for it, you can build a tower all the way to the heavens and nothing can stop you. So when we see mob mentality where people get agendas and they're burning things and destroying. Listen, the devil is a destroyer. Jesus comes to give light. You never get anything by destroying. The devil destroys. So when the devil arouses things to destroy, it's demonic. But there is a release of exponential demonic anointing for that purpose. On the flip side, in the church, for righteous purposes, we can come together under one banner, one mind, one speech, one horse. Tonight, you're going to go out there and you're going to gather with other Belgians. You haven't played with those Belgians, but the two of you guys are going to be able to pull 24,000 pounds. But what happens if people in church who do life together, who do small groups together, who pray together, who worship together, who sit and listen to the word together, who have coffee together, what happens now if they come together in unity? How much power is available? The anointing of the Holy Ghost exponentially explodes in our midst. Now, this is why my heart is not two services. We're having two services because we have no space. But I wish, and right now we're looking for another building, I wish we could get everybody in one service, because when we're all together as one, we are an absolute, total, complete threat to the devil. I believe when we have one service where everybody's together, I believe when we get up and start coming to church, hell starts scattering all over Cookeville, Tennessee, and says, oh my God, there they go again. Crazy radical Pentecostals going to church. Because there's a power of unity, right? Now, right now it's not possible, but we're praying that those days come. There is a power with unity. Y'all with me? Shout yes.
Yes.
Right. Now, I've been pastoring 32 years, and I've learned something. Well, let me just tell you what I've not learned. I've not learned how to get perfect unity in any church I've ever pastored. I felt like we got close a few times. I don't know any businessman who owns a business who says they felt like they have perfect unity. They've gotten close a few times. All right. Let me say it like this. Jesus said, pray to prayer, Lord, make them one like we are one. The other day, I'm driving down the road, and the Lord speaks to me. Now, he might not speak to you like this, but he speaks to me. And he speaks to me, and he says, Shane, I've got a question for you. If I said, if my prayer was for you to be one, like me and the Father in heaven, for you to be one with people, if that's not happening, I've got a question for you. He said, are you the answer to my prayer or the obstruction to it? Ouch. You see, the Lord's prayer, the reason it's not answered is because the will of man is thwarting the will of God. It's God's will that we be one. And everybody under the sound of my voice, you're either an answer to that prayer or an obstruction to it. You have to determine which one you are. Now, can I be honest? Can I be transparent? In my personal life, there's some areas I'm an obstruction to. Right? In my personal life, there's a whole lot of areas I'm an answer to that prayer. But God wants me to remove every obstruction of unity out of my life so that I'm pleasing to Him. So I want to ask you a question. Are you the answer to His prayer of unity or the obstruction to it? Powerful, right? Now, in 32 years of pastoring, I have not accomplished perfect unity, but I have learned what obstructs unity. I've grown several churches, thousands of people. I've reached all over the world, been in nations all over the planet. I've helped other churches. In fact, I'll be flying out this afternoon because I won't be able to be at the park tonight, but there'll be others there. I fly out this afternoon to Houston, Texas, where I will gather with hundreds of other pastors. I spent hours just a few days ago with at least 250 pastors talking to them about growing their church and things of that nature. And here's what I learned. In dealing with all those churches, my own organization, I've learned that there's five obstructions to unity. Now, this could be in your house. It could be in your business. It can be in a church. Five obstructions to unity. And they're devastating. See, here's the thing. Look at me. If you want unity, it doesn't happen by accident. If you want unity, you've got to be intentional with it. Right? Because everything is working against it. So you have to be intentional with it. So if I can intentionally remove some obstructions, I get closer to that perfect unity that only comes. And by the way, listen to me. Perfect unity, the only time I've ever been close to perfect unity was when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was happening and people had forgotten about all their agendas and all they could think about was what God wanted. Right? So, let me give you five obstructions. Five obstructions. Write these down. Number one, lack of shared purpose. A lack of shared purpose. When they were building the Tower of Babel, they had a shared purpose. Everybody was on the same page about what they were doing. Whenever a group of people does not know where they're headed, does not know what their goals are and the objectives of how to get to those goals are, then unity can't be accomplished. That's the reason it's so important that we have to make clear our vision, where we're headed, and what we're doing at all times. And I'll be honest with you, that is difficult at every level. When you're small, it's difficult. When you get large, it's difficult, right? Number one obstruction, a lack of shared purpose. Number two, second obstruction of unity is poor communication. Poor communication. I had somebody this last week come up to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, when is the men's breakfast going to start happening?" I said, "Brother, you have been in church Sunday and Wednesday, every Sunday and Wednesday for the last month. I have announced it every Sunday and Wednesday for the last month. I mean, my God, I just announced it again this morning, right?" He said, "Well, I never heard it." You know what I found out about people? You can't over-communicate. So in your house, if there's a lack of unity, it's usually because of poor communication. You're not talking. You're not yelling. And communication is hearing and talking. Actually, it's more listening than it is running your mouth. Right? No such thing as communication that's not reciprocal. So poor communication destroys unity. Third thing that destroys unity is gossip. Now, this is different than poor communication. This is intentionally divisive communication. Did you know statistics say that if there's 100 people in here who are on the same page and ready to charge a mountain for God, that all it takes is 2% to stop the whole organization? In other words, two people can shut down 100 people. Now, what that means in a church like ours, 350 or so, that means all we've got to have is seven people who's not on the same page and who is speaking something evil with their mouth, contradictory with their mouth, and those seven people will stop 400 from seeing the glory of God. You say, "I didn't know it was that big a deal." Yeah, it's a big deal. The Bible talks about gossip destroying everything that you have built, right? Now, gossip is the spreading of a report. Right? It might be true, It might be false, but it's the spreading of a report. So watch now. Lack of shared purpose. Number two, poor communication. Number three, gossip. These are the three things that stop or an obstruction to unity. Y'all ready for number four? Write this down. Number four is unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict. Whether a brother or a sister is mad at each other, upset at each other, and they won't get it resolved. This is the reason Matthew chapter 18 says, if a brother or sister has an ought, or you have an ought against them, or they, you know they have an ought against you, go between you and them and fix it. Fix it. And if you do, you've gained a brother. If not, go get two or three leaders and go sit down and try to fix it. And if not, go tell the whole matter to the church. But whatever you do, resolve the conflict. And then he says, on the heels of that, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The power of binding, loosing comes on the heels of resolved conflict. The power of binding and loosing comes on the heels of resolved conflict. Unresolved conflict hinders unity. All right. I can see this is exciting to you guys. Number five. I was talking about the horse, and you guys were all into the horse, but now I've lost you. Let me give you the fifth thing that is an obstruction. Listen, are you an answer or are you an obstruction? Here's the fifth thing. Sanction incompetence. Write that down. Sanction incompetence. Y'all would pay Tony Robbins $10,000 for 2 days to teach you what I just taught you. Sanction incompetence. Now let me tell you what that means. What that means is you put somebody in a position and they're not doing their job. But because you love them or because you of relationship, whatever, you're scared to do what is necessary for the betterment of the organization. So what you do is your silence on the matter sanctions the incompetence. Right? And when you sanction incompetence, everybody else loses trust because they think either you're ignorant or you don't see it. And both of those are bad things. And when you're a leader, it's not just about character. Character is the foundation. It's also about competence in leadership. So you can be the best person on the planet, but if you're incompetent, people won't follow you because they have to believe you, character, and they need to believe in you. And there's a difference. So they've got to follow you, right? They've got to have something to follow. So look at me. Sanction incompetence. Right? Which means, as we grow, as the organization grows, things have to change. It's the same way in your house. You can't do it in your house, right? You have to deal with those issues. Now, that's just part of how to be in unity. Now, we're not going to get it perfect. There's never going to be a time. And here's the thing. We're not divided as a church, so y'all can relax. This is like preventative medication. This is medication for you to put on the counter because one day we'll have to take it. It's coming. It's coming. I've been doing this long enough to know it's coming. What I am telling you is that we have to make up our mind we're going to be the answer to the Lord's prayer of unity and not the obstruction to that prayer, which means those five areas we need to make sure we deal with in our own personal life. And if we do, sky's the limit. In fact, we serve a God who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that works on the inside of us. If we come into alignment with that, watch this. What we're doing is taking one Belgium, hooking it to another Belgium that they're friends with, and there's this synergy that takes place. Imagine the power, the exponential power that is released in our midst. Hell don't have a chance against a group of people like that. So we can either decide we're just going to be a church like everybody else, where everybody just comes along and they sit in the pew and they walk out of here and leave. Or we can decide we're going to be a family. And we're going to yoke ourselves together. And we're going to do life together. And we're going to watch God do the miraculous. So, I've said this before. I want to say it again. Our goal here at this stage of our church is we want our staff to feel like a team. And the body to feel like a family. Because as we grow, we need the family to grow, not just the church. I'm going to say that again. As we grow, we need the family to grow, not just the church. Because you can get a lot of nickels and noses in seats, but that does not make you a family. Right? So that means we've got to do whatever it takes to preserve unity. This is the reason, and I'm closing, so Adam, come. This is the reason the Bible says, as much as lies within you, you have responsibility in it. As much as lies within you. As much as lies within you. Be at peace with all men. As much. See, look. I can't control your attitude. But I can control mine. I can't control what happens around me. But I can control what happens in me. As much as lies within you, be at peace with all men. Mom and dad, make sure to keep peace in your house. Because I close with these thoughts. If I were the devil, and knowing that I'm defeated, you do realize the devil's defeated. He was defeated 2,000 years ago at Calvary. He was defeated. The devil's defeated. Quit blaming everything on the devil. You don't need the devil. You'll destroy yourself. Right? It's the truth. But if I were the devil and I was defeated, and I really had no power but deception, how would I go in and take a city? Well, first of all, I'd sneak into the homes of that city. And I would get the families fighting with one another. I get the kids cussing mom and daddy out, not listening to them. I'd have mom and daddy at each other's throats, hating each other, no love in the home. I'd get total division taking place in that house. Then, after I got some significant amount of houses with division in it, I'd move over into the city officials and the leadership. And I'd get them fighting with one another and hating one another. I'd get them divided over party lines. I'd get them divided over where they went to church and who they went to church with or they didn't go to church. And that's what I'd do in the city. And I'd create schisms through the whole city. And then what I'd do is I'd move into the nation. And I'd do the same thing in the nation. I'd get them fighting. Because Once the mob mentality, the demonic synergy takes place, it's hard to stop it. It's really hard to stop it. And then you're deceived because you think that the nation's the problem. Or you think the city's the problem when in reality, the real problem is in your house. Right? By the way, everything I just told you is in the Bible. Jesus said, Satan cannot cast out Satan. For every house divided against itself cannot stand. And city and kingdom. What I just shared with you is exactly the strategy of the devil. So remember, I told you unity is a two-sided coin. It works on the righteous side. But on the wicked side, hell realizes the exponential power that can be released. A demonic anointing can be released over a group of people who are settled on a purpose that is anti-God and is destroying. And he knows, once you put my horse up there, he knows, I just need my horse up there. He knows demonically speaking, if he can just get the right horses hooked up. Can I talk to you? Have you ever noticed people in church? This is what I've learned. You can have a church of 3,000 people. I've seen this over and over again, 3,000 people. And there'll be one marriage over here that has got absolute hell going on. And they will miraculously be led and find, it's like a magnet attracting them, to another family's who's got hell going on there. And before you know it, the spouses have committed adultery. Like, how'd that happen? It's a demonic synergy that happens. Like spirits attract each other. That's the reason you need to be healthy in your life, because if you're not healthy, you're going to attract what you are privately. Right? There's a demonic synergy that happens in that, and it's destructive. That's the reason as much as lies within you, you got to control it. You're either an answer or an obstruction. Right. An answer. I don't know about you, but I've said, Lord, I want to be the answer to unity in my house, in my city, in my church. I want to be the answer. I want you to stand with me all over this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we've worshiped radically. We've given radically. We've prayed in the altar radically. But I got to do one more thing radically before I leave. I want every head bowed in this room. I want to ask the question, are you right with Jesus? I want to ask the question, do you know that you're okay with the Lord? And if not, today, before we leave, the last thing we want to do is make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that hell is defeated over your life before you ever leave this room. If you're in here today and you say, Pastor Shane, I'll be honest with you. I'm not right with Jesus. I'm just not right with Jesus. But today, the Holy Spirit, I feel His presence in this room, and the Holy Spirit is talking to me. And today, I want to commit my life to Christ, and I want to be right with God. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is simple. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to lift your hand. The reason I'm asking you to do that is because I want to be able to see it. And then after you lift your hand, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to step out and come right here to the altar and pray with me and Pastor Steve. You say, why are you doing that? Because the Bible says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. If you ignore me before men, I'll ignore you before the Father. So there's something powerful and spiritual that happens, not only when you lift your hand, but when you step out and you say, I'm going to make a stand for Jesus, I don't care who sees it. So I'm going to ask the question again, are you right with Jesus? And if not, are you ready to make Jesus the Lord of your life? It's real simple. There's no religious calisthenics. All you got to do is just call upon His name. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand in here right now. Just say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And I'll be honest, it doesn't matter to me if it's just one or two. It'll be fine with me. All right. Everybody look right here. Throw both those hands up just like this. I pray, may the Lord God bless you and keep you. May the Lord God make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord God be gracious to you, lift up His countenance over your life, and grant you peace. I pray unity in your home, in your businesses, in your workplaces. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would rise above and walk a victorious life this week unlike any time before. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And if everybody could put an amen on that for me. God bless you. Get out of here. We love you guys. I will see you this coming Wednesday night.